So today I'm going to share with you some speechwriter secrets, because I don't know whether you know this, but there is a secret language of leadership, a secret language of leadership that we all used to be taught at school, ancient rhetoric. This was a core part of the curriculum in ancient Rome, part of the trivium. In London, right the way through to the 19th century, it was possible to get a free education in rhetoric, but not in mathematics, reflecting the importance that was placed on the topic. Today, teaching in rhetoric is restricted to a powerful, privileged few. So what I'm going to do in my speech is revive this ancient art of rhetoric and share with you six techniques so that you can all speak like leaders. So, right, okay, stop. Right, stop, listen. Look left, look right, look centre. How are you feeling? Distressed? Anxious? Little bit edgy? That's because I'm mimicking hyperventilating. And so this is the authentic sound of fear, and that fear transfers to you. This is an ancient Roman rhetorical device. They used to call it a synderton, but it's one that leaders still use today. So David Cameron uses it. Broken homes, failing schools, sink estates. Tony Blair used to use it as well. Education, education, education. Barack Obama too. A world at war, a planet in peril. The worst financial crisis in a generation. Why three? Well, three is the magic number in rhetoric. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. Mangia bene, ridi spesso, ama molto. That was the hardest part of this speech to practice, so thank you for the applause. This is also an ancient Roman rhetorical device. They used to call it tricolon, which makes it sound like a peculiar part of the digestive system, but it's just put things in threes. You put your arguments in threes, it makes it sound more compelling, more convincing, more credible, just like that. And so we find the rule of three here, there, and everywhere. And so indeed you can tell the history of Verona through nothing more than the rule of three. If you think that Caesar used to come here 2,000 years ago, veni, vidi, vici, 400 years ago, Shakespeare wrote Romeo and Juliet, which was set here. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? But of course, far and away, the most momentous event in Verona's history, today's TEDx, reinvent, rethink, relay. Right, let's move on. Number two. Three sentences in which the opening clause is repeated. Now, this is what Winston Churchill did with his, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight on the fields and in the streets. Of course, he could have said this a whole lot quicker, but he wanted to communicate his emotion, so he repeated it. When we're emotional about things, our perspective distorts, and this then manifests in our speech, and so this is the authentic sound of passion. I love Verona. I love Italy. I love pasta. I love tiramisu. I love all of you. I love the excitement. I love the energy. I love the enthusiasm here in this room. Are you feeling my passion? You should be, because I'm a speechwriter and I know how to make a point. It sweeps people away. And this is why this is a technique which is used by slick salesmen and by market traders. I'm not asking £20. I'm not asking £15. I'm not even asking £10. It sweeps people onto the next point, which is three balance in statements. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. There's nothing wrong with America that can't be cured by what's right with America. To be or not to be. If the sentence sounds as if it's balanced, we imagine that the underlying thinking is balanced, and our brain is tuned to like things that are balanced. Balanced minds, balanced diets, balanced lives. And so we're drawn to these kinds of sentences, we're attracted to them, even if that balance is actually just an illusion, like we're looking to the future, not the past. We're working together, not against one another. We're thinking about what we can do, not what we can't.